The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text this morning is John 3, 14 to 21, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is "Why Jesus Came to Earth." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the reasons why people do certain things are often a mystery, even to them. Ask a child why they did something wrong, and they may answer, "I don't know." although they usually do. Ask an adult why they did something wrong, and you'll usually get a justification or an excuse for their behavior. The real reasons are rarely admitted except under duress, trial, or in confession. Ask an adult why they did something good, and you will get the public reason that makes them look good, not the personal benefit they may enjoy from an act of charity or goodwill. The reasons why God does certain things is even more of a mystery, except when he tells you. And then you know for certain why such things have happened and have no reason to doubt, since God does not lie or deceive like humans do. In our gospel lesson this morning, God tells you exactly why Jesus came to earth. There are three solid reasons that explain why Jesus came here from heaven. He came because, one, God loves the world. Two, God wants the world to be saved. And three, God wants you to believe in Jesus and what Jesus said. In verses 14 to 15 of our gospel, Jesus used the story of the bronze serpent in the wilderness to explain God's plan of salvation. The story is found in Numbers 21, 4 to 9, and it is our Old Testament lesson today. The people of Israel have been complaining about the conditions of life in the desert. They complained that there was no bread or water, and they hated the manna that came from heaven. For their ungratefulness, God sent poisonous snakes among them, and many people died. Then the people repented and asked for God's mercy. Moses prayed to God, and he had Moses make a serpent out of bronze that was lifted up on a pole. A pole kind of like this. And there's something bronze. That's interesting. And then if a person was bitten by a snake, they could look at the bronze serpent and live. This story was used by Jesus to teach us that we're all like the people of Israel, bitten by poisonous snakes. Every one of you, myself included, has the poisonous venom of the demonic serpent coursing through your veins. It is a hereditary disease. You get it from your mom and dad, and then from their parents before them, the disease the Christian theologians have called original sin. It was first acquired by Adam and Eve when they ate the fruit of the tree in Eden. It was thereafter passed to their children, to all their descendants, to your parents, and then to you. This original sin is the cause of actual sins, both minor and major, both venial and mortal. Original sin is the cause of unbelief and our separation from God. Original sin is the cause of all evil in the world, including wars, bloodshed, oppression, pain, sickness, disabilities, and the depredations of age and death. Now, if you look at the state of the world, which is easy to do just by watching the news, or the condition of your own body, it is easy to think, what sort of God would create such a mess? It is easy to blame God for the mess of the world and for your personal pains, suffering, and eventual death. Modern philosophy, since the time of Voltaire, has tried to use the evidence of pain, suffering, and death to prove that there is no God, or at least that there, if there is a God, that he doesn't care about the human race. A recent example of this type of argumentation is the book by Professor Bart Ehrman titled God's Problem: How the Bible Fails to Answer Our Most Important Question, Why We Suffer, HarperCollins, 2008. Professor Ehrman and others like him are wrong. The Bible does answer why you suffer. You suffer and die because you all have original sin. You are all guilty under God's law and therefore deserve nothing but temporal and eternal suffering and death. But that's not the end of the story. Verse 16 of our gospel says, God loved the world. This means that God loves all the people in the world. It's universal. God's love covers everybody, from Adam and Eve, through all of us, up until the very last baby that's going to be born before Jesus returns. God loves them all. Rich, poor, smart, dumb, healthy, sick, young, old, good and bad. And most important, what you should take away from the service and the lessons and the sermon of the day is that God loves you. Now, this is a very hard thing to believe when things are not going very well for you. When sickness, pain, suffering, and death become personal, it really seems like God doesn't love you or he just doesn't care. But there Jesus says it in black and white, as clear as a bell in verse 16, God loves the world. Are you part of the world? Yes. You are, so God loves you. And that's why Jesus came to earth. That's the reason. Now, it's easy for Christians to think that they're the only ones whom God loves. And this is human nature. We think, well, let's see, if I give God his due honor, respect, and loyalty, he will reward me in turn. But then bad things happen to you, just like they're happening to unbelievers. And then it seems like God doesn't care about you at all, even though you've been faithful to him all your life. What kind of God is that? But God doesn't work like that. Not at all. It says in verse 16, in black and white, God loves the world. Bad things happen to Christians just as much as they happen to unbelievers. Good things happen to Christians just as much as they happen to unbelievers. Before the return of Jesus on the last day and the judgment, God makes no distinction between good or bad, Gentile or Jew, believer or unbeliever, fortune and misfortune, suffering and escape from suffering, it happens to us all. God expresses his love for the people of the world not by eliminating temporal suffering, pain, and death, but by saving them from eternal suffering, pain, and death. And that's why Jesus came to earth. If God eliminated temporal suffering, pain, and death, when you became a believer, then you would not, after that, understand that you're in jeopardy of eternal consequences for sin. Bad things remain in this world to remind Christians that they need salvation from the bad things in the world to come. What do you need to do to escape from the bad things in the world to come? Verse 16 also answers that question. Whoever believes in the Son shall not perish but have eternal life. What does it mean to believe in the Son of God? When you say that you believe in someone, it means that you believe and trust whatever they say. Therefore, in order to have eternal life, you simply have to believe whatever Jesus said, as that is recorded in our New Testament. And that includes the words of our gospel today. You believe those things, then you have faith. That's what the word believe means. Let's see, where was I going? Okay, I don't know if I can pick up for where I was. Can somebody turn that off, whoever has the phone? Thank you. Thank you, Moto. That's a Motorola phone, I know. It's not my phone. Okay, so where I was, in order to have eternal life, you simply have to believe what Jesus said. Now that sounds easy on paper, and it's certainly easy for children. Children understand this. They sing with gusto, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells them so, they believe it. And another famous one, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It's easy for children. Christian children believe in Jesus, they've been baptized, and they will most certainly be saved. That's why Jesus said, you have to become like one of them. But for the rest of us, it's not so easy. And today in our culture, it's getting harder. Everything in our culture today, except for faithful Christian churches and faithful Christian institutions, is geared toward encouraging you to not believe in Jesus and not believe in his words. Television, videos, movies, college professors, college dorm life, magazines, theater, literature, newspapers, websites, museums, fraternal orders, many other things are used by non-Christians and unbelievers that are so-called Christians, all to convince you not but to believe in Jesus' words. And that presents all of you and me with a challenge. Either believe in Jesus' words, and by doing so, resisting the pressures of the world, or believe whatever the world tells you, and then reject or ignore the words and teaching of Jesus. There's no middle ground. You might think there is, but there isn't. Because Jesus says, verse 18, whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. May our Lord keep you in the true faith through all suffering, pain, and temptations until he takes you home for your eternal reward and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.